And so they go and they spend the day with him. Well, that's just come on, hasn't it? So they go and they spend the day with him. Now, we don't know exactly what took place during that day, but it seems to have made an impression. The experience of being with Jesus seems to have set their hearts on fire. Because from this point, these two who were John's disciples, well, they seem convinced that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus invited them to come and see, to come and spend time with him, and that experience has convinced them that Jesus is whom John testified him to be. We see this in what follows in verses 40 and 41. We're first told in these verses that one of the two who followed Jesus is named Andrew. And Andrew, he has a brother, and his brother's name's Simon. And after Andrew spent some time with Jesus, he immediately goes and finds his brother, and he says to him, "We have found the Messiah." Well, having told Simon this, Andrew doesn't leave it there. He also brings his brother along to come and see the Messiah. And Simon's pretty quickly brought into the fold of Jesus' disciples. So much so that when Jesus meets him, he dubs him Cephas or Peter, which means rock. Jesus immediately assigns Peter an important place among his disciples as a key leader, especially for the future. But Peter and Andrew, well, they're not the only pair of brothers who start following Jesus in our passage. No, there's another important pair that joins Jesus' entourage. So in verse 43, Jesus has decided to head out from Galilee, the region where that he's presently in. But before doing this, Jesus finds a bloke called Philip, a guy who's from the same town as Andrew and Peter, Bethsaida. And he seems to be a friend of theirs. And Jesus says to him, "Follow me." So he's calling Philip to become one of his disciples as well. And Philip not only responds positively to this invitation, but he does the same thing that Andrew did. In verse 45, he's so enthusiastic about Jesus, he finds Jesus to be such a compelling person that he goes and he finds his brother. His brother, Nathanael. And he says to him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now, when someone speaks about the law and prophets, it's a way of referring to the whole Old Testament, the whole Jewish Bible. And so Philip's saying to Nathanael that he's found the one that their whole Bible talks about. The one the Bible predicts will one day come to save and rule God's people. Once again, Philip's saying to Nathanael that he's found the Messiah. He's Jesus of Nazareth. That's what he tells Nathanael. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. But when Nathanael hears this, well, he just immediately scoffs. In verse 46, he says derisively, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" In Nathanael's estimation, Nazareth isn't the town God's king would come from. More than that, he doesn't reckon anything or anyone important would come from Nazareth. That's probably partly because it was such an insignificant little place. It was the equivalent of a one-pub town in the middle of the outback that doesn't even have a giant piece of fruit to create a bit of interest. A town that's just tumbleweeds, red dust, and oppressive heat. Well, Philip hears his brother's objection, but he doesn't argue with him or try to convince him. He simply says to him, "Come and see." And with that, Nathanael reluctantly agrees to come along. And when he does, his objection evaporates like a drop of water on a hot plate. In verse 47, Jesus meets Nathanael and he says, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Straight away, Jesus pegs Nathanael for who he is. He sees straight into his heart and he identifies Nathanael as someone who's absolutely honest. No wonder hanging out with Jesus was such a compelling experience. And even at this point, well, we know that Jesus is spot on given Nathanael's candor to Philip, right? And so Nathanael's pretty startled at this point. Jesus has just met him, and yet he already knows him. It's crazy. So Nathanael says to Jesus in verse 48, well, how do you know me? And Jesus responds in a way that makes Nathanael's jaw drop like a cartoon character. He says to him, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. The point here is that Jesus is displaying supernatural knowledge. He didn't just happen to see Nathanael under the fig tree as he went about his business. No, Jesus has this knowledge without having physically been there. And so Nathanael says something that shows he's made a complete 180 since he last spoke to Philip. Nathanael says in verse 49, Rabbi, so he's now speaking to Jesus with deep respect, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Nathanael now confesses Jesus as the King and the Messiah. Well, at this point, something pretty amazing has taken place, but in verse 50 and 51, Jesus effectively says to Nathanael, you ain't seen nothing yet. He says to him in verse 50, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree, you will see greater things than that. And then Jesus gives Nathanael an idea of the things to come. He says to him in verse 51, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Now, there's a bit to what Jesus is talking about here. This idea of heaven being opened up and angels ascending and descending from heaven. Well, it's referring to an episode in Genesis 28. There, one of the patriarchs of Israel, Jacob, was traveling from a place called Beersheba to a place called Haran. And while he's traveling, he stops for the night. And that night, he has a dream in which he sees a stairway that connects heaven and earth with angels ascending and descending on the stairway. And above the staircase, he sees God, who speaks to him and promises to bless him and multiply Jacob's descendants. At the end of this episode, Jacob concludes that God is in this place. And he names the place Bethel, which means house of God. So that's the background to what Jesus is saying here. And what Jesus says is almost exactly the same as this episode, except there's one really important difference. The angels aren't ascending and descending on a stairway. No, Jesus says they'll ascend and descend on the Son of Man. That's a title Jesus uses to describe himself. He uses it quite often to refer to himself. So the point Jesus is making is that he's telling Nathanael that the great thing he'll see is that Jesus is the stairway to heaven. He's the link between heaven and earth, and therefore the way to heaven. Because he's the Word become flesh, as we saw a few weeks ago. Jesus is God himself who took on humanity to redeem people from sin so they have access to heaven. And not just access to heaven, but access to the one in heaven, God. All right, so we're through our passage now, and that means we've got the groundwork for our second and third points. So let's get into the second point then. We're invited to come and see Jesus. Well, if you recall our first week of John's Gospel, you might remember that I mentioned there what John's main purpose was in writing this Gospel. It's to convince his readers that Jesus is the Messiah. John wants to connect with us and convince us about Jesus. And that means that as we hear Jesus say to Andrew and the other disciple, come and see, as we hear Philip say to Nathaniel, come and see, well, we should also hear John, the author of this gospel, say to us, come and see. John's saying to us, look at these men in this story. Andrew, the other disciple, who's probably John himself, Peter, Philip, and Nathaniel. Look at what they discovered when they took the invite to come and see Jesus. Their experience of Jesus convinced them that he's the Messiah. It convinced them even when they were skeptical, like Nathaniel, the guy who said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And the same goes for you. You're invited to come and see Jesus. And when you do, you'll also see that he's the Messiah. That's what John's saying to us as we read his gospel here. So friends, if you're here this morning and you don't know about Jesus yet, if you haven't yet embraced him as the Messiah, as your Messiah who's the stairway to heaven, the way to God, the one who redeems you from sin and gives you access to heaven, well then, let me invite you, just as John invites you, to come and see. Come and experience Jesus and see for yourself who he is. Now, the obvious question at this point is, how do I come and see? How do I see Jesus? How do I experience him as the disciples did? And the answer is through John's gospel itself. And through the rest of the Bible. The Bible is God's word, and he reveals himself and his son, Jesus, through it. So read John's gospel. Come back next week and hear more about John's gospel. Come out next week to hear a church. If you do, you may well find yourself saying to Jesus, along with Nathaniel, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And for the majority of us here who are Christians, who already believe that Jesus is the Messiah, well, I want to suggest that the invitation to come and see remains open. Because the person of Jesus Christ is deeper than the most epic ocean trenches. We'll never plumb the depths of his person. There's always more to know about him. And even when we know something about him, we can enter into a deeper knowledge of that. And here I'm not just talking about facts, although that's part of it. You've got to know facts about Jesus. But I'm also talking about the kind of knowing that involves awe and wonder and gratitude and love and reverence and fear and joy and comfort and so much more. If we think we know as much of Jesus as we can, well, then we actually don't know him at all. And if we're amazed now at who Jesus is, like Nathaniel was, then we need to hear Jesus say to us, like he did to Nathaniel, you ain't seen nothing yet. You will see greater things than that. And again, how do we see these greater things? How do we grow in deeper knowledge of Jesus, the Son of Man who connects heaven and earth because he's God incarnate? Well, again, it's through his word, the Bible. It's as we read the Bible, hear it preached at church, and talk about it with others. Spending time doing these things is an incredible privilege, brothers and sisters. At any time, we can open God's word and come and see Jesus and discover those greater things. We can go deeper and deeper in knowing him. So let's do that. Let's respond to the invitation that's open to us every day to come and see. And let's grow in knowing more of the love and joy and awe of being with Jesus. All right, let's get into our third and final point. Invite others to come and see. One of the things that's so striking about our passage is how those who embrace Jesus as the Messiah, well, they then invite others to come and see, so that they'll do the same. After Andrew and the other disciple come and see Jesus for themselves, they conclude he's the Messiah. Andrew then goes and gets his brother Simon Peter. And Philip, after Jesus calls him to follow, he finds his brother Nathanael, and then he invites Nathanael again to come and see. Now, as we think about this, I reckon something we should take away that's key for us is that this shows us how to engage in evangelism. One of the key ways to engage in evangelism. Telling others about Jesus, it's not complicated. It's simply a matter of saying to those we're connected to friends and family and colleagues and so forth, come and see. You know, Christianity, it started in the Roman Empire with just a few people. In Acts 1, we find 120 people. That's the sum total of the believers. But by the mid-4th century, there are millions of Christians. Christianity has become an incredible force, and it goes on to become the religion that dominates the empire. And it's arguable that the way that this happened was simply through the type of evangelism we see this morning in the passage. Through Christians saying to their friends and family, come and see. Yes, of course the apostles did amazing work, so that thousands of people were converted at the time. But that was the exception for how people became Christians. Mostly, it was through personal connections. Brothers and sisters, we can have a massive impact for the gospel by just saying to friends and family and other natural connections, come and see. And that's really freeing, I think, because, as I said, it's not particularly complicated. You don't have to be an expert. You don't need all the answers. Did Philip have any answer for Nathanael when Nathanael said, Nazareth, can anything good come out of Nazareth? No. He just said, well, why don't you come and see? And he responded that way because he knew that meeting Jesus would convince Nathanael. Jesus is convincing in himself. He's something else. And when he reveals himself to people, they will, without a shadow of a doubt, say, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Now, where do people come and see Jesus? Well, I answered that earlier. When they open the Bible, come to church, or come to a place where they'll hear God's word explained. So, brothers and sisters, say to the people around you, come and see. Invite them to church. Invite them to read the Bible with you. In December, we've got that Carols event coming up. Invite them to that, to come and see there. And let me just say, you might think that your friends and family wouldn't be interested, but they might just surprise you. People are more open than we think, because the thing is, even if they've got objections in their hearts, they're still searching. People are still looking for the Messiah. They're still looking for the one who bridges heaven and earth and so can put them in contact with God. Because people have this God-shaped hole inside them. And no experiences can fill that. They need Jesus, and deep down, they know it. So let's live invitationally, brothers and sisters. Let's say to those around us, come and see. And then let's allow Jesus to do the rest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for Jesus, our Messiah, who's the way to you, who's our stairway to heaven. Thank you that through him we are redeemed from our sin and brought into a relationship with you. Lord, help us to be people who respond to the invitation to come and see, who strive daily to know Jesus more deeply through his word. And help us to be people who invite others to come and see, who live invitationally and so seek to bring others to you. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, and we pray it in the Spirit. Amen.